on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Born and Raised. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
And a very hearty welcome to you live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road or on Warm Springs Road between Buffalo and Durango. And a great atmosphere here tonight for the Tony Sanchez Show, as we've got TV screens all over the place, great food here, great atmosphere at Born and Raised. And right now there's playoff baseball going on. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening here. And we've got, well, most of the team is here. Steve Cofield is en route. But we have Caleb Herring. We have Coach Sanchez. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing really good. It's good to be here. You know, getting closer to game day. Excited. I got my Oakland A's on the TV right now.
That's right. Down, your Oakland A's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Caleb, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm excited. It's been a long week, I guess, with a week off. Able to enjoy some family time, some other games around the country, college football-wise. But good to be back and get back in the saddle, get ready for conference play. New Mexico this Saturday.
No doubt. I had a chance to get out of town for a while because of the bye week and because we didn't have a coach's show last week. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to the Oregon coast?
You know, yeah, when I was a head coach at California High School, we used to take our team every year to Gold Beach, Oregon. Gold Beach, Oregon. It was kind of out there, and it's beautiful, and yeah, we'd go spend a week out there. So that's my only time out there.
Caleb, what about you?
I have not personally been to the Pacific Northwest, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. I've seen pictures of some beautiful scenery. So, I mean, I hope it lives up to expectations.
He's about to start showing us pictures.
Oh, my. There he is.
Just because we're live on HD television, I can show this. This is called Haystack Rock on a little town called Cannon Beach.
It looks like the rock from the movie Goonies.
That's where they filmed it.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I'm good.
Flashback, right? There should be a ship coming out somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere over there.
Indeed.
I love it.
So that's just that's one thing. So great little chance to get a little R&R and just a spectacular place. And we drove to a seaside, sunset on seaside.
It was beautiful.
Oregon, yeah, it's about 8 miles from Cannon Beach.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, that it's great. Great way to decompress and just get away. And you never have enough getaways. But the Rebels, meanwhile, in the middle of a bye week, and we're going to touch on the last game, the Arkansas State game. We'll talk a little about what went on in the bye week, and then we'll get into the New Mexico game. But first of all, Coach, it's not breaking news at this point, but certainly the most significant piece of news right now, Armani Rodgers with a foot injury, out indefinitely. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, you know, he tore the plantar plate in his left big toe. So that kind of stabilizes the foot. So it's a pretty significant injury. Thank goodness he didn't need to have surgery. So there's a possibility he comes back at some point this year. There's a chance it goes throughout the entire season. That's why they're the indefinitely on it. But you know, it's a big loss. Armani's a leader. He's a team captain. He's done some tremendous things for us. You know, we've built a lot of things around him. Good thing is there's a lot of great pieces out there. When you look at the backfield, you look at the receiving core, that offensive line, the way we're playing defensively, getting better on special teams and areas. And then you have a guy like Max who's a quality football. He's a good football player. It's not just, you know, some guy off the street that you're like, all right, man, I hope we can, you know, be okay. He's going to be just fine. I mean, he's looked great in practice all week. The guy who started off his career at Cal, went to Saddleback, was real successful there, got him into the playoffs in California JUCO. So he's a guy that's got some experience. He's very confident, and the team's confident in him. Him coming early in the spring was big because he shared all the one reps with Armani the entire spring, and towards the latter end, that's when we named Armani the starter. But the guys respect him, respect his work ethic, and if he plays like he's been practicing all week, we're going to have a hell of an offense on our hands.
Obviously, Armani's spirits can't be great, but you know what kind of a guy he is, and trying to come back from something like that.
Yeah, Armani's awesome. He's been good. He's been upbeat. He's been right there, you know, in Max's corner, you know, helping him out. And he's just a great character guy. So this is a little bump in his road, but he'll get back on track. He'll be fine.
So as far as Armani's style of play, obviously has him in the trenches or exposed to injury a lot. Last year had some experience with it also in a situation like this where the backup had to come off the bench and had some success, obviously, with Johnny Stanton last season. So does that provide some sort of blueprint for the team on how to behave, how to respond when the number one guy goes down?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, it's an older group. It's a veteran group. It's been through this before. Like you said, you talked about last year. You know, I mean, heck, and really these guys have been through this quarterback deal 3 years in a row now. We haven't gone through a season since I've been here where quarterbacks stayed healthy. So, The guys have experienced, so there's no panic. You know, again, they see Max's work ethic. You know, they see his, you know, level of play. They know that he's more than prepared for this opportunity. And then having gone through it last year and seeing us, you know, go out there and, you know, stack up a couple wins in a row with Johnny, I think lets these guys know that, hey, we're fine. We just got to go out and execute, play at a high level.
Caleb, you know all about what it's like to be a quarterback at this level and to fill in for a guy who's hurt and then to take over. So from a mental standpoint, approaching it from that standpoint, what does Max Gillum need to do and how does he need to adjust here?
Well, I think the process actually starts when you get the news that you're going to be the number two guy. You can't change your preparation. You have to prepare every week as if you're the number one guy. And I think Max has done a good job of accepting that role so far this season, and we'll see him come to the moment and seize it, getting his chance on Saturday to play. But I think it's a good situation coming off of a bye week to have an extra week to kind of absorb the fact that you're going to be the guy, so maybe his emotions aren't going to be so high. But that's the key, I think, in my opinion, is to temper your emotions and just do what you know to do already. He's been preparing since he signed with UNLV to do exactly this, which is to step up and play at some point, albeit not in this situation. He'd like to have just earned the right to play himself, but that's the way life is. Sometimes the opportunity presents itself in a weird way, and you have to be ready to seize it. And it seems like Max has the composure and the confidence to be that guy. Just watching him throughout the spring, as Coach said, and in this past week of practice, and seeing the interviews, the way he's carrying himself, he seems like he's confident in his ability to step up and be the guy. And that's what the Rebels need right now.
Okay, now, Coach, if you wouldn't mind, for the benefit of those who, you know, we talked a little bit about Max Gillum, but could you provide a little bit more detail on the profile of Max as a guy, and as a quarterback, what he brings to the table?
Yeah, well, the great thing for him is, you know, now the program is rolling in the direction we want it. You know, we've been able to, you know, bring the depth in. We recruited Max to the system we run, so we don't have to change anything for him. Yeah, he's not 6'5" and 230, but he's 6'1", and he's a 200-pound guy. He's a dual-threat quarterback. He runs extremely well. You know, I don't think you're going to see him, you know, drop the head and, you know, run people over the way Armani does. But you know what? If, you know, you make a mistake, and he makes the right read, I mean, he can chew up some yards real fast. He's got a quicker release probably than Armani does. It's a little smaller of a release. It's not as elongated as Armani's. Don't think he has quite the vertical arm strength that Armani does, but an intermediate game is really where he's strong. So Max, you know, again, he'll come on in, and there'll be a couple little of adjustments, maybe 5% at most, but we're going to go out there and just, you know, run our offense. It's been an interesting deal because I thought we threw the ball, you know, fairly decent against, you know, USC. We had some drops, you know, good, tough game back and forth. Then the next two games, you know, we jumped on these guys and had big leads, and we threw the ball down the field, but it was never, you know, it wasn't a situation where we really had to force the issue because of the game. And then the last game we played, it was a rainstorm. It just really affected it. So this is going to be fun. I mean, regardless of who the quarterback was, we were going to have to get out there in this game and really disperse the ball, get it out to some different guys, you know, do a good job of developing that part of our program. Now Max is the guy, and he's going to get that opportunity Saturday, and I think he's going to run with it.
So speaking about the depth that you recruited at the position all around at UNLV this past few years, does Kenyon Oblad, I know he's deeper on the depth chart, he's a freshman, he's just coming in, his role now has changed as well. How has he been handling now being bumped up to the 2D?
Yeah, so now he is the 2, you know, with the new redshirt rule with those four games, you know, you're hoping you can still go ahead and, you know, and have the ability to redshirt him even if he does get in. But, you know, it's just, you know, for him, you know, that jump from high school to college, it's the preparation, it's the film watching, it's what you do when you're not with us. We have a 20-hour rule, so we're limited in what we can do. But if that's all you're going to spend on the game and developing yourself, you're probably not going to be great, especially at the quarterback spot. So, you know, that's the big challenge for him, is preparing like a pro, doing everything right, taking care of all the details, and making sure, you know, he's got his questions ready to roll when he gets into meetings, and he has them answered by the time we get on the field.
To what degree, Coach, does the bye week, what role does a bye week play in taking a step back, engaging where the program is at this point?
Well, I mean, I think we know where the program is. I think it's more about the season. So for us, it's the 8 weeks, you know, it's the 8 weeks, the training camp plus the four games, the bangs and bruises that just inevitably come. Everybody's banged and bruised after a while. So having that week to go ahead and, you know, restructure practice. You know, we didn't go out there on the Monday and practice. We watched film when we did a walkthrough. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we practiced. We wore helmets and shoulder pads and put our pants on. And there were 90 minutes. We cut the time down. So we got in what we needed to do. We got a jump start on New Mexico, but we also got the guys freshened up and gave them 3 days off, which was huge. What we didn't know in that week was that, you know, Max was going to be the starter for sure and Armani be out. So now it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, he was with the ones for two straight weeks. So that's something that, you know, again, as we were preparing for New Mexico, we didn't know if we'd have Armani back or not. So Max got all those reps and Kenyon got all the two reps. So rather than, you know, finding out on a Monday and you play on a Saturday, we had two full weeks. You know, they got to go home over the break, and Max knew he was the guy, so he got to, you know, chew on that for a little bit. So I think it helped settle him and everybody else down along with Kenyon.
Steve Cofield has joined us now. Steve, you're a busy guy.
A little bit. Uh-oh.
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 All right.
We have
a, I wouldn't call it a wardrobe misfunction, but we have something else going on here. But we'll get our crack engineer, Chris Hernandez, on that right now so Steve can officially join us. Arkansas State, again, as you mentioned, Coach, rainstorm before the game, during the game, after the game, 27-20, they win. The game in many ways, however, was there for the taking for the Rebels.
It was, yeah. It seems like a long time ago now. It's been 2 weeks, you
know. Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those back-and-forth games. They're a good program. They do a really, really good job. You know, the weather definitely affected both teams. You know, you saw early on, he completed one big ball across the middle, but that ball was end-over-end. And after that, they pretty much stuck to just, you know, slip screens, outside, short routes, and then just your fades, you know. So the middle of the field was kind of dead to both teams. So that was an interesting deal. But we found ourselves down in that game. You know, we fumbled a punt, you know, inside of our own 10-yard line, which ended up, you know, it was a huge, huge deal. So they took a big lead, but I was proud of our guys the way they came back, and you were able to take the lead back again after the, you know, going down by a couple of scores, and we just weren't able to hang on, and they, you know, they got us at the end. So I think there was some good growth there. We saw some really good things. That the defense played really well at times. There was a couple series where we lacked a little bit, but overall I think you saw improvement in a lot of different areas. But you know, again, we got to continue to grow and get better, and you know, find a way to win those games at the end.
You've only had a couple of games here where the weather has been such a factor like it was last week. I think Fresno State a couple years ago. Where would you rank this last downpour on how much the weather affected the games?
Well, the Fresno one was weird because it only downpoured for about 120 very crucial seconds, and it was like it was unbelievable, and that was a downpour. This was just more of a methodical, you know, change of the game. I mean, it constantly, you know, was wet. I mean, you know, their quarterback dropped back one time to throw the ball slipped out of his hand.
Right out of his hand, yeah.
Yeah, they were able to jump on it. So it really kind of put you into that, okay, physical ground and pound game. And, yeah, and we got to be a little bit better at handling that. So I thought they probably adjusted a little bit better than we did as far as kind of changing what their passing game, you know, and we were definitely off. But, again, it's hard to, you know, be too critical on your quarterback when you're trying to throw in that type of weather conditions. And he ran for 180 yards.
Yeah, there's that.
They played hard, really, for four quarters, but they made some mistakes, obviously. And, you know, one of the things that really jumped out, Coach, 5 3-and-outs for the Rebels.
Yeah, and again, you know, when you start to become one-dimensional because of the things we're just talking about, that happens. We also 3-and-out of them 6 times. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it went back and forth. Both teams had to deal with it. The game was won on turnovers. That's the bottom line. You know, I mean, we had a 1st and 10 going in on the 18-yard line. We throw a pick. We got a 1st and 10 going in on, I believe, the 30-some-odd yard line. We throw the pick inside the 15. And then we go ahead and we have the fumble, you know, inside the 10-yard line. So you look at that. I mean, even in a worst-case scenario, that could be a 21-point swing, 10-point, 14, some 17. And there's a lot of points left on there on those three possessions. So, you know, we can't make those crucial mistakes in big games like that.
How do you handle the moving forward, the punt receiving issues? Because there's not only the fumble, there was also another case where, you know, player got a little too close, bounced off him, and was a lot of that you just chalk up to weather, or you – we're looking to make changes.
Well, we made changes. Yeah, so we made Makai Stevenson do the punt return, and Evan Owens will do the kick return. But the one with the ball bounced off the guy, that wasn't his fault at all. That just was a bad hop. I mean, that's Alex Perry running down. We're yelling, Peter, Peter, Peter. So you're running to the sidelines, and the ball bounced and shot towards him. I mean, that happened. That ball's going to bounce funny. So that one I wasn't too worried about. That wasn't an attention or a mechanical issue. That literally was the bounce of a ball, you know, on a short kick. But we can't, you know, we fumbled 2 punts so far this year, and it can't happen. I mean, we have to be better at that, you know, and it's hard to put that all on that guy. But we just feel like, you know what, confidence might be shaking a little bit in that part of the game, you know. Presley's a great player. He's going to make a bunch of plays as a receiver. We're going to take that off his plate. We're going to let Makai go back there and continue to develop Ty Leak until we have that level of comfort that he can go back there.
Presley was at the 7 approximately when that punt came down, and he reached up, and I guess the rule of thumb is you don't
you never catch a punt like that. Right. Kickoffs or punts are not caught like that. Right. They're caught in the breadbasket. So it's just a fundamental deal. Kind of panicked on that. And, you know, again, your heels are at 7, and if you feel like you're going to catch that ball, I mean, you're going to go back one step. It doesn't – you know, punters are so good now, especially on the short field, on pinning you back inside the 5. So everybody in college has moved it back. In the NFL, moved it back to more of that 7-yard line. It's not the old 10-yard line anymore. Mm-hmm. But you've got to have the level of confidence. And if not, get out of the way. Earlier in the game, same thing. He started floating back. The wind was kind of taking it, and he just aborted and got out of the way. Well, this one, at the last second, decided to throw his hands up, and it ended up being a crucial mistake.
Coach, you mentioned the turnovers also earlier. I think the turnovers that happened, the interceptions, were on probably the most productive drives that you guys were having as far as moving the ball and getting into striking distance. How frustrating or defeating was it that those productive drives, considering the 3-and-outs and all that you also mentioned, that those drives ended in turnovers rather than at least a field goal?
Yeah, you know, so they're early in the game, too. So they went down, they drove down, you know, and scored right away. And we took the ball, and we went right back down the football field and threw a pick. So at the time, it's not as concerning. It's more frustrating. It's like, all right, come on, we got, you know, you tell me, we got to protect the ball. You know, we got to put points up on the board, especially early in the game. But there's a lot of time to recover from that. And then when we got down to the 18-yard line, going into that new facility they're building, you know, throwing that pick, that was really, really crucial. I mean, you're sitting on the 18-yard line, you're just points on the board, and I know it's wet out there, but you can't leave the ball hanging low and inside.
All right, we're going to take our first break here in a moment on the Tony Sanchez Show. We're live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, Warm Springs, between Buffalo and Durango. A reminder, don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. And the show is brought to you in part by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why we offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. All right, time for our first break in the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, back with a whole lot more. This is the Tony Sanchez Show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back, Rebel fans, born and raised. I'd like to remind you that today's show is brought to you by Finley Chevrolet. Finley Chevrolet is your home for Woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads.
And you wonder why we have him on the broadcast. You think it's because he's a former quarterback. No.
Not just arm talent, right?
No.
Vocal talent.
Vocal talent. Call him Caleb the Octave Master. All right. We're at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. All right. The following promos are live during all UNLV games here at Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. During all UNLV games, $3 Bud Light or Mick Ultra drafts, $4 Estrella Jalisco drafts, $20 100-ounce towers of Bud Light, or Mick Ultra, $20 buckets of Bud Light, or Mick Ultra bottles. Brand new happy hour. Wide limit happy hour to just an hour. When it's Born and Raised time, you have 40 items to choose from at the happy hour, including all appetizers and sliders, all for $6 or less. Not to be beaten, that particular deal. Promos for all NFL games. You have the same beer specials as I just mentioned during the Rebel games. Also, in addition to that, $5 Jägermeister shots and $5 Absolute Bloody Marys on Sundays. More about what's going on here at Born and Raised as we move forward in the coaches show. But if you're looking for a great car deal, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. So the Rebels were down 13-7 at the half against Arkansas State. And although the Rebels did overall a good job of running the ball, it was really tough running, especially in that second half. ASU's pretty physical up front.
Well, they are. And again, you know, with the weather, it becoming more of a one-dimensional game. You know, we weren't having a lot of success throwing the football. They're able to load the box up a little bit. So you got to take advantage of those vertical opportunities. You know, we weren't able to do that. And it became a real physical game.
So Lex, speaking about the difficulties, Lex had a quiet game. I mean, 80 plus yards, is, I mean, it's not a bad performance, but based on Lex's standards, it didn't seem like he – it seemed like he was pretty bottled up. Has he shown any signs of a lack of confidence, or does that bother him at all?
Nah, he's, you know, again, he's a senior. He's been through so many of these games. He doesn't lack confidence. He's fine, you know. And but it was tough sledding in that game. When you look at it, a lot of our yards came on chunk plays. You know, we had a lot of big runs, but there was a lot of 2 and 3 yard runs. I mean, they did a really good job on first downs. We have to do a better job of putting ourselves into better second down situations so we can be more balanced. So, you know, we're sitting there on third and long all night. It's going to affect that third down percentage in the show.
Well, you talk about chunk plays, and in the second half of the Rebels down 19-7, maybe the biggest chunk play of the day, which was Armani's 64-yard run to the 6-yard line. Then he pounded it in on 4th and 1, and that made it 19-14. The Rebels were right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they got that extended lead after the fumble punt, and our guys settled down. They were fine. Went out there, scored, made it a 1-score game. And, you know, again, the whole thing, you know, for us and our guys, in looking at their maturity and their development, there's never panic. I mean, there's plenty of time left on the clock. It's, you know, and in college football, I mean, a quarter of football can last a long, long time. You know, I mean, you look at the New Mexico game this last week, they were down 41-10 at half, and with a couple minutes left, it was 49-43. So, I mean, you know, if you use the time right, you can come back.
So one of that big run, if I'm not mistaken, came after the series before Armani actually went out for a play, and I think he got his ankle or left ankle retaped during that. So just a sign of toughness on his part.
Yeah, he's a real physical guy, and running the ball the way he does, that's going to happen. And came out for a play or so, came right back in, and you know he did a really good job. But he's tough. He's tough as nails.
You mentioned the turnovers, Coach, but the Rebels, they were down 19-14 if they scored the touchdown. And Arkansas State had it at their own 35. And that's when Javen White had a big hit, forcing a fumble. Dalton Baker picked it up. And then they were able to take that in Lexington with a touchdown, making it 20-19. Missed the two-point conversion. But going to the fourth quarter, they had that lead.
Yeah, that was a big play. I mean, anytime you get a defensive, not only a defensive stop, but a defensive turnover, gives your offense a short field. We were able to execute and go on down. That was a big momentum swing.
All right, then the Marcel Murray touchdown run was the last score of the game. It was 39-yard run for either side. It made it 27-20. They got the two-point conversion. But then under 8 minutes left, Armani got his third interception. He overthrew, I believe it was Kendall Keyes. And, of course, that was one of the real daggers.
Yeah, you know, and again, I said that earlier, turnovers were a big key. I mean, when you look at what was the biggest key factor in that game, it was turnovers, because both defenses really played well. I mean, you know, our defense did a lot of stuff to give them problems. You know, when you look at it, really, after the fumble punt, we gave up really, you know, 2 touchdowns to them, not 3. I mean, one of those is, you know, off that fumble on the punt. So both defenses played pretty even. Steven, the difference in the game was that one turnover and a free touchdown.
I want to get your take on 2 impressions I had on Arkansas State. One, that's a well-funded program. That's the kind of program you can show folks around Vegas that, hey, if you know the money's there, the support's there, you can turn into a football power, because they are building and building and building. And I think I read the number. It was like $82 million thrown into the program since 2012.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes a commitment. I mean, if you really want to have a good program, it takes a financial commitment from the university and the community to really want to see that, you know. So when you go to a place like Arkansas State, we talk about all the success they've had over a number of years. You see their indoor football facility. You see that beautiful stadium. You know, you see the – I mean, they're building a brand new – we were in a nice football building, and they're building another one of those things. I mean, it's all about recruiting. It's about funding the program at the highest level so you can compete at the highest level, and that's something that we're working towards and we've been battling for years.
And impression two is you can find players in lots of places, because they had two of their best players, 92, Forrest Merrill, who I talked about him before and since. That dude, I think, came in from Northeast Oklahoma A&M. He's 5'11". I mean, he doesn't, you know, he's basically a fire hydrant. Yep. You know, doesn't look the part. He's not, you know, an SEC guy at 6'4 and, you know, 300 pounds, 5'11", 335. And that running back, the kid who scored the winning touchdown, is like a 2-star recruit, you know, small school in Georgia.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, when you look at that game, and, you know, we were fairly evenly matched up in certain areas, you know. But our roster is the same thing. I mean, you found Lexington Thomas is one of the top running backs in the United States. You know, you look at a guy like Justin Polo, a local Vegas kid here, who's going to have a chance to play on Sundays. You know, Donovan Outlaw's got that type of ability, too. You get Gabe McCoy, who's about 190 pounds, dripping wet coming out of high school. And, you know, Coach Galley at Pittsburgh, just, you know, I knew him from playing against him, jumped on the table for him and said, give this kid a chance, put some wet on, develop him. And all of a sudden, now Gabe, you know, he's only, 4 games into his junior year, he's really become becoming a factor. So the biggest thing is bringing guys in and having the time to develop them, to redshirt them, to groom them, let them grow. Because we're not going to get a bunch of ready-made players, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of programs that win by developing guys, you know. And that's fine. Those guys, through their development, are going to pass up some of those three- and four-star guys.
Certainly one of the guys in the team who did not mince words after the game was Javen White, who said point blank, we should have won this game. And he had a fine game himself, though, 9 tackles and a forced fumble.
Yeah, again, you know, Javen's a guy we brought in as a safety. He's grown into a linebacker. He's developed. He's been a great teammate. And, you know, just by the way those guys answer the questions, you know that, hey, they're into winning now. You know, I mean, they want to win ball games. They don't want to be close. You know, they've worked really hard. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, if you just see them, the way they've chewed up that weight room and just taken care of their academics and just done all the little things we've asked them to do, they, you know, their payday is they want W's. They want W's. They want to play in important games. They want to play in front of full stadiums, and that's part of that frustration.
After a tough loss like that, what is your message, if anything, in the locker room after the game? Do you still have to get fired up and let them know that this is, you know, we need to win, or is there players that step up and kind of do that talking for you after games like that?
Yeah, you know, after the game immediately, you know, you're a little deflated, you know, you're a lot deflated, and it's more of, hey, guys, you know what, we're still a good football team. We've made some obvious mistakes. We talked about the turnovers. We talked about some of the critical errors, you know, a couple things on STs. So we talked about that stuff, you know, in a shell, in a short version of it, right? Because you don't want to ever go off until you see it, you watch a film, and you really know, you know, you got a grasp on what you're talking about. So just let them know, hey, you know what? This is a game we let get away. It's a game very easily could have won. You know, it's third downs, it's red zone, it's turnovers. Those are the three key categories. We didn't win those. They did. They won the game. That's the difference. And it's, let's get on the plane, and, you know, we'll see you on Monday, and we'll go back to work.
Times it looked like there were some missed tackles that could have really helped.
Yeah, there was a couple missed tackles later on down the stretch. You know, when you look at that last touchdown they scored, we had two guys and missed a tackle on that. You know, played well most of the night, but that first drive coming out of the locker room, really lethargic. They went right down, and then we settled down after that. And then that last touchdown, a couple missed tackles. So, again, it's cleaned up so much, or doing so much better more consistently. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to, you'd love to be 100% in that category.
Do you anticipate that Tylee Collins maybe get a few more reps on the punt return side?
I don't know. I mean, that's not the plan right now. I mean, you know, Makai will go back there and catch him. He could go out there and catch the ball at some point, but we got to have a level of confidence in him that he's going to go out there and be just that confident in catching those balls. At some point during the season, we will. Don't know if it's this week.
One of the tougher problems late in that game, that one play in the fourth quarter, got to be some real frustration on that long completion to Darren Woods, because you guys even took a delay a game to get a review, which they did not review, and it looked like his foot might have been in.
It wasn't. It was 100% in, because I got the Fox video, I got our end zone video, and they screwed that one up. And that was a big deal, because we had the lead. That would have been, and, you know, again, it was tough sledding as it was. And I don't know if they didn't have a camera angle or what it was. To me, we were pumping the ball really well. It was worth it. Just, I didn't want to use a timeout because I knew we'd need them later. But I felt like it was a gamble worth taking on that delay of game just to give them some more time. And they blew that call.
From our vantage point, obviously it was a huge play in the game. So that's third down. And you're coming out with the lead. That probably Armani's best throw of the season, in my opinion, the way he delivered that blow, step or on the run with accuracy, great catch in the rain. So, I mean, that's a huge third down play. Did that kind of deflate the team a little bit, do you feel like, and not getting that overturn?
Well, you know, the hard thing about it was at the time, it's like, all right, come on, let's muster it up. Let's go out there and play good defense. And then when they score, you're like, ah, you realize how critical that was, you know. And so it was fun. I got a little excited down there. yeah, just a little bit, you know. But you got to gather yourself. You got to go back and play. It's frustrating, but, you know, I guess, you know, when you think about it, it's the game. It's going to happen, and you've got to be good enough to overcome some of those things, you know. And we just, you know, we didn't. You wish you didn't have to rely on, you know, the eyesight of a guy seeing whether you're in or not, and you could just go ahead and be in a better position and be in a third and short rather than a third and long, and once again try to have to throw the ball to the sticks like that.
All right, time for our next break on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. You know, the new 2019 Toyotas have arrived at Finley Toyota. Come see them today. Finley Toyota, the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. For the best selection and the best price, it's Finley Toyota. A lot more to come. We're going to cover the New Mexico game and some other things on the second half of the Tony Sanchez Show today from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Russ Langer with Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring and head coach Tony Sanchez. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Ladies and gentlemen, come into Findlay Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Findlay Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. Along with Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring, I'm Russ Langer on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And to tell you a little bit more about Born and Raised, there's Bar Plinko for all Sunday night and Monday night NFL games. Guests can play Bar Plinko. Every guest gets a paper jersey of an offensive player from that night's game. If your player scores, you get to play Plinko for a chance to win the following: tickets to an NFL game, passes for a pole position raceway, a car wash, appetizers, beer towers, shirts and hats. That's for Bar Plinko, all Sunday night and Monday night NFL games here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. So, Coach, with regard to the bye week, I mean, the Rebels have had three different starting guards the last few weeks, but now you have a chance to rest up and get healthy.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's one of the things. It's been good. We've gotten a lot of guys in, you know, gotten some reps, but yeah, we started two different centers and three different guards, you know. So getting all those guys healthy is big. I mean, just having your coffers filled, and that's what you want coming out of the bye week. You know, you want that to kind of refresh everybody and get everybody healed to full strength. Sitakosta, you know, obviously, you know, played in the Arkansas State game with probably about 80-90%. He's 100% now. He's feeling good. Jaron Caldwell's doing a really good job. Zach Singer's a lot healthier than he's been the last couple of weeks. So that's really good.
Zach Singer's quite a talent, but so much trouble staying healthy the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know he is. I mean, he's just an absolute warrior.
So touched on a little bit earlier about just the bye week and where it fell. How refreshing is it for the players to get that time off after, like you said, 8 weeks of from fall camp to four straight weeks in the season?
It's really good, and especially like our true freshmen, you know, when they show up in July, they don't go home again, you know at all until the bye week. So a lot of those kids hadn't seen their families, hadn't really been at home to kind of decompress. And, you know, you forget they show up in July, they go right into classes, they grind for a month, they go right into camp. And, you know, for a lot of those guys like Ty Leak and stuff, it was just an absolute mental, like, woo, refresh. And they came back with so much more juice this week, more confident, ready to roll. So I think you'll see that.
I wanted to go back to the offensive line in terms of continuity. And, I mean, this is the group you wanted, right?
Yep, that's it.
And now it's a crucial time. We talked about this on the local shows. I think people are underrating what Armani does for the overall running game.
Oh, I mean, he's the number 8 rusher in the United States of America.
But I think people look at his numbers and don't realize the impact it has in helping the rest of the guys run.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, when you're sitting there and you've got that quarterback and you're like, you know, defensively, you've got to spy him. You've got to put an eye on him. And when you don't, he breaks off 60, 70-yard runs. It changes your whole approach, you know. So when you do lose that guy who is that dual run threat, and Max is, people will find that out. They'll probably underestimate him early on, which is a good thing. But I tell you what, it opens up that running game so much when you have to defend him.
Yeah, the numbers last year, we were talking about them on the local shows today. You guys, for the three and a half, that Armani was out, you went down about 140 yards a game. And then, like, yards per carry were like 6.6 down to like 3.1. So, I mean, there was an impact a year ago. So now I want to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I know that you want to run all the same stuff with Max in there. Can you really do it in terms of your quarterback depth, though? Because I think your situation was a little bit different last year where, listen, Kirk Hallendeck was not an amazing player, but he was a solid player, he was a veteran, a strong kid.
Yep.
So I'll put you on the spot. Can you run the risk of having Max out there, you know, running the ball?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, we don't need to be so quarterback-centric run. I mean, some of the read zone stuff still got to be in there. Otherwise, I mean, it's hard to even run that stuff, you know what I'm saying, if you don't have that threat. Now, Max has got to slide. Max has got to go out of bounds. I don't think you're going to see as much run calls, but you're still going to see the option plays. You know what I'm saying? Those still have to be there. But there's a lot of stuff for Armani where it's a Q power. It's a Q sweep. It's a Q. So we need to do enough to give us a chance to win, but I don't think it has to be as much as it has been.
And very important question. He can slide?
He can slide.
Because this seems to be. We're watching the baseball game right now. By the way, could you slide?
No, I was a terrible slider.
This is going to be like a fist at the sun, old guy thing.
I tell you what.
Why can't people slide anymore?
Sliding is
tough. We've got a generation of kids that only play one sport, unfortunately. Yep. Right? They should all play a little bit of baseball. It should be mandatory.
Right, I agree. But sliding is one of those things for me as playing quarterback when I couldn't slide unless it was like an impromptu decision to slide. We had like drills and like individual time in practice where we practiced sliding as quarterbacks. quarterbacks. And it was a joke. Like, people would laugh at us. We looked terrible. They even brought baseball players out to kind of try to help us. But it just, I couldn't do it if it was something I was trying to do. If it was an impromptu, I'm scared, this guy's going to crush me, I would get down as quick, a perfect slide. But it's just one of those things. I never practiced sliding before.
Russ, you called AAA baseball for how long?
Years.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we asked you to slide, could you do it?
If you asked me to slide?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, look at that.
That's my order sliders.
He's almost insulted.
I've never played baseball. The whole thing is you got to learn how to slide where you pop up on second base and right out. That's the way to do it. But
can't
if you grew up in the Bay Area when I did, nobody slid because we all did Ricky Henderson's. Boom.
Right
come
at
on,
first?
Man,
that was it.
Was
you don't want the quarterback doing that.
No.
No Ricky Henderson's.
They asked Pete Rose, why do you slide head first? He said, I want to see where I'm going. So, anyway, on the bye week, for a normal week, you'd be just strictly looking ahead to New Mexico. But with a bye week, do you also look beyond New Mexico a little bit?
The only thing we did is on the Monday when we went out there, we walked through the option. We walked through the triple that Air Force runs. You always got to go back to that once in a while. So we didn't want to do it at the same day that we were starting to do New Mexico. So what we did was we did it on the Monday, and then we put that to bed, and then we did New Mexico Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Does it help at all with that in mind? Does it help at all that New Mexico has some triple option aspects to their offense? I mean, I know they run out of the shotgun primarily, not the same as playing Air Force, who's just been great at it since forever. But does it help that they have some similarities as far as the eye discipline?
It did last year because, you know, you still who's got Q, who's got, you know, dive, who's got pitch. I mean, you still had that phases. But now that McGee's their OC, you know, he's come in and he's really changed the offense. I mean, so they're more of a spread. They have some of that in there, but now that they're down to their third string quarterback, who it's an interesting story. I mean, he's a guy who went to Tennessee originally and went to JUCO. He's a hell of a player. Threw for like 340, and he's a good athlete. Just don't know how much of the offense he has a grasp of. I don't know how much of the triple you're going to run with him. You know, maybe they will. Maybe they'll surprise us. But I think you're going to see more Reed Jones type stuff, and then you're going to see them go ahead and spread you out and throw the ball down the field.
More about the New Mexico game coming up, which, by the way, is this Saturday, 1 o'clock at Sam Boyd Stadium. Conference play begins. Back with a whole lot more on the Tony Sanchez Show. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. This is the Tony Sanchez Show in Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And we got quite the atmosphere here. A lot of folks out here checking out the show, checking out the various TV screens, the outstanding food and drink. Oakland and the Yankees in their wild card game as we speak. And the Rebels getting ready for their game. This conference play will start this Saturday, 1 o'clock at Sam Boyd Stadium against the New Mexico Lobos. And we touched on them a little bit. What the Lobos bring to the dance. And just going to ask you, Tony, the Lobos, it looks like they don't do some of the things they've done in years past. A little more spread out. You mentioned Calvin McGee, who came over from Arizona, kind of changing things. They used to be more run-heavy, and now they seem to be a little more balanced.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that's one of the things they wanted to do. They're going to go really fast. I mean, that's one of the things. Their tempo is a fast-paced tempo, but they're going to spread it out. They're going to throw the ball a lot more than – I mean, they had times in the past where they'd run the ball, you know, 52 times and throw it 8, and that's not what they're doing now. They're more balanced, and they've completely changed their offense.
They had a disappointing year last year. The Rebels beat them in Albuquerque. Defensively, they lead in interceptions, but they allow nearly 500 yards per game so far.
Yeah, well, it's going to be our job to go out there and chew up as many yards as we can and put a bunch of points up. You know, when you look at them, though, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the conference. You know, they put up a ton of points early on the board for them. So, it'll be an interesting matchup. You know, Wisconsin's Wisconsin, but they had a good first half of them, hung pretty well, you know, got two wins, and then they kind of got out there this last game, and, you know, they got a punt blocked that ended up leading to a recovery on the one that was a touchdown. They returned a punt to the 2-yard line. They roughed the kicker on that, and they give up a bunch of verticals, so they found themselves down big time. But they came out in that second half and they stormed back. So obviously it's a team that's got a lot of fight in them.
Been a lot of shootouts between the two schools the last few years. And last year, the Rebels built a nice big lead, but then they kept giving up some big chunks to the Lobos. Lobos finally overtook them. The Rebels had to come from behind to win that one.
That was a frustrating night, you know, defensively. I mean, we felt like we had the lead. We were starting to get some breathing room, and every time they were just big chunk runs, got into our back end, didn't do a really good job of tackling in that secondary. So we don't want that same thing to happen. We got to do a good job. I think we're much more improved this year, so I expect us to play better.
One of the things you're looking for, perhaps better yardage on first downs than in the last game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, I think with the weather cooperating, I think with us being more balanced, you're going to see those situations.
So you mentioned that New Mexico likes to do tempo. Is that something that you prep for in practice against a team that you specifically think is going to do it? Do you try to throw as much tempo at your defensive guys as you can?
We do. You know, you go there and you use a Nerf ball, so you're not wasting time trying to snap the other ball. And, I mean, you go as fast as you can against the defense, you know, with our scout team. And the good thing is most of the teams you play now are tempo, so it's kind of like, you know, if you get in the huddle, it's like, wow, it's a trick play, you know, and that's kind of what we've been doing the last couple years. But we tempo too now. You know, again, we are not a fast-paced tempo, but we're running the no huddle. But every week we do two-minute drill against each other, and we got to show some more reps on that.
All right, I realize you have a more experienced bunch, Coach, but any concerns about restarting mentally, getting back in the flow of things after the bye week?
There's always concerns about that. You know, you do your damnedest to kind of, you know, make sure you talk about the pitfalls and the things that can happen, but at the end of the day, you're not out there playing. It's, you know, it's those guys out there, so they got to be mature enough to come on out there and realize, hey, you don't want to pick up where you left off. You want to be better than where you left off. So you got to start fast. You got to start furious, and I think our guys will do that, and I'm confident that we'll go out there and play well early in the game.
And finally, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but in terms of passing efficiency, do you see some packages available for Max Gillum against this Lobo defense as you look at film?
I do. You know, and the thing is that we have so much in our arsenal that we just haven't even gotten to yet. I mean, he almost threw it out the window the last game based on the situation that you're in with the weather and everything. You know, Max is going to be fine. He's looked really good these last couple of days of practice. What we want to see is a multitude of guys touch the ball. You know, we don't want it to be so limited to a couple, you know, Lex touching the ball. And we want to see these guys make plays. We want Kendall touching the ball, and Presley and Woods and Tylee Collins, and we need Charles Williams to get rolling. I mean, he's a hell of a player. He doesn't have enough touches yet, so we've got to get him going early in the game too.
Back to the defense through four games. What do you think? I mean, the numbers have improved, but, you know, where are you right now?
I think we're much better. You know, I think we're playing good enough on the defensive side to give us a chance to win a bunch of ball games down the stretch. You know, I mean, we're not giving up big chunk plays. There's no blown coverages. We're tackling a lot better. The one thing I will say, though, that we need to do better is we need to play the ball in flight better. You know, when those guys are running fades down the sidelines, our guys are in good position, and they're just not turning and playing the ball. That's a confidence issue. So we've talked to our guys and challenged them. If we can do that, create some more turnovers the way we're playing defense, we'd be in a whole – I mean, we'd be really good.
How do you fix that? Because I see that all across college football where a lot of times the DBs or cornerbacks are running right into the receiver. They never turn around. How do you fix it? I mean, you mentioned confidence. It's simple as that?
It really is. I mean, if I'm in you know, this has to change, man. If I'm in his pocket and I can feel him, then I'm in a position to play the ball, right? If I can't, then you're going to go ahead and run, hands go up, you're going to scrape through the hands. But if I'm there, I got to have the guts to go ahead and turn around and know that, hey, I'm going to make a play on this ball. I'm going to become the wide receiver. And the elite corners, they do that.
It's almost just recognizing what I, in my experience, throwing to receivers. It's the point of no return that a lot of the good DBs realize, the confident DBs realize, the point of no return. At this point, he can't change his route again. We've been running too long. He's too far downfield.
Right.
He's not snapping this off, running a comeback. I have to have the confidence. Okay, he's past that point. Now I can look back and see if the ball is coming or not. That's just a feel thing. Maybe
I was going to say,
shots down there.
Is there almost a sense that the great cornerbacks have where they can kind of feel that the ball is coming their way?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look at, you see the body language, you know, the way that, you know, the shoulders start to turn a little bit, the eyes get a little bit big. I mean, you got to be detail-oriented on that stuff.
On the flip side, well, there's nothing the receiver can do not to telegraph that the ball's coming. So, I mean, they have to do something that makes it obvious to the cornerback.
Well,
in
this day and age,
yeah,
I wouldn't even worry about the minimum. My whole thing was turn around, and you know what? It's a 50-50 PI. So, you know what? I mean, you got all the damn advantage in the world, right?
Yeah.
So, turn around, play the ball. If it's a little short, just jump right through that darn corner, especially if he's not turning around. It's a free 15.
The DBs are definitely at the mercy of the offensive player nowadays. But to your point, the wide receivers now are getting better at not giving tells. This is like next level. Like Antonio Brown does it, Jordy Nelson does it on the back shoulder fade where they can sell that it's going downfield and then on a dime turn around. And it's the most hilarious thing as a quarterback to watch DBs get turned around. But this is like next level stuff. That's kind of the next step after you get to the DBs that are good enough to play you. Now you got to, as a receiver, figure out how to trick them. So, I mean, some can do it. Some can pull it off. But I don't think – not at this level yet. Nobody's doing it at this level.
All right, we're going to take our final break and back with our remaining moments at head coach Tony Sanchez on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. For a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives, come to Findlay Toyota. Indeed. Okay, we'll take our last break, come back with a lot more. This is the Tony Sanchez Show on UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Findlay Toyota invites you to experience the price point of a used car with all the benefits that come with a new Toyota. Ask us about certified pre-owned Toyotas today. The Tony Sanchez Show, along with Steve Cofield and former quarterback Caleb Herring. Russ Langer here, Tony Sanchez. Tony is making quick work of the sliders over there. What do you have there? That's a little, is that chicken and avocado and bacon? Or is
it's turkey, avocado, and bacon. It's okay. Real good, peppery.
So what happens, you practice against up-tempo.
That's it, right there.
And the food's going down quickly.
And then the artichoke, I had one of those today. Those are killer with the garlic.
Phenomenal.
Outstanding. So, you had the bye week. You and the coaches are pretty busy in the recruiting trail.
Yeah, you know, I took off, flew up to New Orleans, and saw a bunch of kids there, and then landed Friday here in Vegas at 8 o'clock, and then flew back out to Reno at 3 o'clock, and then was back at 9:45 that night. So it was good, though. I had a Saturday where I could relax, veg out a little bit, watch some college football, and then jump back in Sunday. But we're fired up to be at home.
I had a talk with a friend of mine about potential coaching and all the stuff that college coaches go through, and I said it must be a sleepless job because you're the coach, GM, president of football operations. You never get a break. When do you have some time to yourself?
Oh man, I tell you what, you know, you take a couple days around Christmas, you know, 3-4 days, and then you got your spring break, and then you got your July, and that's kind of it. So they come in chunks.
All right, you mentioned hoping for a little more variety, a little more touches. Well, one guy, one of the big plays in the Arkansas State game, Evan Owens, broke a nice tackle and 41 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, he'll be our starting kick returner in this game, so we're going to put him back there to do that little bit bigger of a body. And, you know, he's another guy that you'd love to see him touch the ball, you know, a little bit more often because of what he's capable of.
Caleb, what are you looking for in this game coming up?
I'm looking for, obviously, Max. I want to see what he does with his chance. Obviously, have some personal feelings about it, same as I did with Johnny last year, the backup being ready to kind of seize his moment. So, yeah. I mean, I hope he does well, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the table because I think he could contribute and be a part of a win on Saturday.
Steve? I assume the receivers are fired up, you know, not to say anything bad about Armani, but it's a different look coming their way.
It is, you know, and they're excited. They've had a good week of practice, and that ball's been distributed all over the place, and it's been good, and there's a lot of energy.
All right, 1 o'clock is the kickoff time. That'll be this Saturday. The New Mexico Lobos are coming in, and again, a lot of high-scoring games between these two teams, and of course, the Rebels invite you to come on out because it could be quite the interesting affair.
Yeah, it's important to get a lot of people out at the game. You know, beautiful 1 o'clock. You got to fight that night, so make it a whole sports day. So we're fired up about that, and you know, hopefully we get it. Hopefully we get our knockout and go watch another one.
All right, Tone, we will see you. We'll see you about 11 o'clock for the pregame interview. How's that?
Sounds great. Go Rebs.
All right, go Rebs. Jake, Caleb, we'll see you.
It's always been good. Great food here, Born and Raised. It's good. Excited about some football on Saturday.
Steve, we'll see you then.
I'm ready. Nice weather, finally.
All right, appreciate Bobby Machado, Chris Hernandez for helping us through this one. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulls Sports Network from Learfield. This has been the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.